message. Aaron Sebia drives one deep to left center field. Long high drive. Way back for it to center fielder Ellsbury. There she goes. A two-run home run for J.T. Aaron Sebia.
Number 21 for J.P. Aaron Sebia on the season. You just heard Jerry Howard with the call. That broke the Blue Jays' single-season home run record for catchers. J.P. Aaron Sebia in his rookie season getting himself into the Blue Jays' record books. This is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. I'm Mike Wilner. J.P. Aaron Sebia joins us now to take your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. JP, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Tell us a little bit about the year. I mean, we talked throughout the season. We talked again when it was all over and your teammates voted you the club rookie of the year. Aside from the 219, things pretty much went as planned for you, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I feel like I learned a lot. I progressed a lot as a player, both physically and mentally, mature-wise, as far as, learning the ins and outs of the league and getting a first-hand feel for the league. The average was down, but like I said, if you look at production, I was up top two or three in the league in every category.
Yeah, absolutely, as far as catchers and home runs and runs batted in. And I mentioned before the break, you spent most of the season hitting eighth and ninth. And those aren't great RBI spots in the lineup, but you still managed to drive in a whole big whack. In fact, 63 games in the 8 and 9 spots in the lineup and 46 runs batted in those 63 games.
You got to give credit to my teammates in front of me for getting on base and being able to score and do that stuff. But, that's where I was this year. And 8 and 9 all. Usually not a run producer, but that's what I felt like I've been my career. From when I was a little kid, I've always felt like I've been driving runs, and hopefully at some point, I could be a heart of this lineup and produce on a major level.
With JP Aaron Sebia here, and he's taking your phone calls, he's with us for one segment. So if you're gonna dial it up, do it now at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get right to the phone calls. And JP, as you know, you're one of the young heartthrobs on these Blue Jays, so it's no shocker that the first caller is of the feminine persuasion. Julia is in Toronto. Julia, say hello to JP Aaron Sebia.
Hi.
Hi, Julia.
So my question for you is that at the beginning of the season, I don't really think anyone expected you to be a power hitter. And then you came up and you hit all these home runs. And you, starting with the home opener, when you had two home runs, and then you tied the record, and then you broke the record. And I just wondered, is that something that you expected to do?
John, can you help repeat that?
Yeah, we're having a little trouble hearing Julia, and I'll just repeat the question. And it's kind of one that you and I have talked about before in the past. Julia says she didn't expect you to hit a whole bunch of home runs, and she wanted to know if you were surprised by that. And I had mentioned to you earlier, it's kind of funny how many people ask you that question.
No, I wasn't surprised at all. I actually wanted to. I expected myself to hit 25. To the 30 range, and it's something that I've always been able to do. My power has been something that from my first season I hit 27, to my next year I hit 21, to my next year I hit 32, I think it was. And I've always known that my power is there, and I didn't think that it wasn't going to translate at the major league level. The parts are still the same size, so I felt like I'd still be able to accomplish it on that level as well.
Is it mechanical for you? I mean, you're not huge. You're not built like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man with muscles on top of your muscles, but you have really easy power, we've seen a few home runs where the ball just seems to explode off your bat. Where's it come from?
You know, it's just one of those things where it's all hand speed, it's all leverage. It's, you know, Jose Bautista is not one of the bigger guys in the league, and he's the home run guy. He has the most home runs in the league the last few years. So I really don't think it's a muscle-bound thing. There's a lot of guys that are big and strong and don't get home runs. God blessed me with bat speed, which is a huge part of it, and I think the leverage of my swing plays into the to be able to loft the ball.
With JP here in CB, taking your phone calls. Let's go out to Mitch in Thornhill. Mitch, you're on with JP.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. And my question from one country music fan to another is, what does Major League Baseball player do in the off season? Like, what's your daily regimen?
You try to relax and give your body a rest, kind of let your body get back under you, at least for the first month. And then it's kind of weird. I almost feel like during the off season I'm even more strict than I am during the season as far as just dieting and working out. I work out, four times a week. I do yoga Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sunday is really the only day I have off. So as far as the preparation, that's what we do. And I try to go out and play as much golf as possible. I'm not good, but I don't get upset because it's not something that I get paid to do. So I go out there and I stink, but I love it.
It doesn't bother you that when a ball's coming at you at 95 miles an hour, you can hit it, but when it's just sitting there, it's so hard?
No, I'd get frustrated if it was something that mattered if I did good or bad, but especially it being a game that is just for fun and recreation, if I started to get upset at it, I'd hang up my golf clubs and try something else, because I don't need to be any more upset than in the offseason.
That's really interesting, because there are a lot of guys who can't turn off that competitiveness, and I'm sure if you're out there with your buddies, you're going to want to win and you're going to want to beat them, but to be able to take that attitude, it's that's pretty healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say I wasn't competitive, and I don't like to compete, but if I stink, then I stink. And it's one of those things where I'm not going to get upset at not being good at something that I know that I'm not good at. I practice and I want to do well at it, but I just don't get upset about not being good at golf.
We're with JP Aaron CB. It's the Blue Jay Day pregame show as we get set for Game 6. The Tigers and the Rangers, Max Scherzer against Derek Holland. Let's go out to Scarborough. Kevin, say hello to JP. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was just wondering, it's good to talk to you, and I was wondering what JP's favorite catching moment was when he was growing up.
Mike, can you help me out there? Okay.
Your favorite catching moment growing up.
My favorite catching moment growing up, I would have to say playing in Cooperstown. It was 12 and under, and I got to play in a tournament in Cooperstown, and it was pretty cool to be able to catch out there, and we're the Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. that's outstanding. On the Twitter, and I know you're very active on the Twitter, so you may well have seen this too, but just to let you know that we're keeping an eye on it, and at Mike Statement, doesn't have a question for you. He just wants a quick thank you to JP for signing so many autographs during the final home game, and he believes that was, in fact, so pro of you. So, well done. And you certainly don't have a problem giving back to the fans. You seem to be doing it all the time.
I try to do as much as I can. During the games, on game days, I don't sign much at all just because I'm trying to prepare and get that stuff done. But that being said, when I don't play, I always try to make it a scene where I get out there, you know, 15 minutes before the anthem, and then try to go out there and sign as many autographs as I can, especially for the kids, as much as possible. Because I grew up, you know, being a huge fan, obviously, of baseball and aspiring to be a major leaguer and seeing these major leaguers as a kid. And I remember the guys that you know, kind of didn't give me the time of day, and I remember the guys that, you know, that kind of gave me the time of day. And I always promised myself if I was ever at a position where I could, you know, be a major leaguer, that I would try and you know, be as you know, cordial and you know, and give all the kids the time of day that I could.
Who stands out for you for when you were a kid who was nice and who was giving of their time?
You know, Mike Lowell was a guy that I got to meet when I was younger. And, you know, he was with the Marlins, and it was cool. You know, I got to meet him when I was doing kind of mental physical therapy, and he had no idea who I was, and I kind of came up to him, and I was like, you know, I'm a big fan, and you know, he talked to me there for like 10 minutes, and it was cool. And it was cool because, you know, sometimes people see us as these, you know, kind of superheroes that were untouchable, and that, you know, they see us on TV and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, you know, we're the same as everybody else. And, you know, I'm a person just like anybody else. And I don't have a problem, you know, hanging out and talking with the people who, you know, ultimately give us the opportunity that we have every day.
That sounds great. And Mike Lowell, and a couple of times that I've interacted with him, has been a tremendous guy. Absolutely. Time for a couple more calls with JP. Dave is in Curtis. Dave, say hello to JP here in CBS.
Hi, JP.
How are you?
I'm getting something else on the phone.
All right, just try to ignore it. Go ahead.
Okay. What I wanted to ask him, when he's behind the plate and he sees the whole vista of the ballpark, and then the batter hits it up real high, foul ball right behind him, he has to rip his mask off, and now he's got this wall of fans there. I mean, is it one stream to another? How does the guy catch the ball back there?
Can I get help again, Mike?
Sure. It's just, how tough is it going back on a foul pop-up that's straight behind you? He was wondering if you lose the ball in the fans, and how tough is it to concentrate on that ball?
Well, it's tough. Those fly balls are a lot harder than anyone would imagine, because the ball has so much spin on it that it's kind of coming back towards the field of play. So you got to kind of, if you're under the ball, you almost are pretty guaranteed to miss it. So you have to kind of play the ball 10 feet in front of you so that the ball comes back to you. And it's weird because in certain parts, when the ball gets a little too high, like in Fenway, if it gets too high and it gets over the stadium, the wind kind of plays a part and kind of moves it around. So you gotta kind of look at the flag and kind of see what way the wind is pushing the ball and kind of know your surroundings. I walk around every field I get to. I kind of walk around and see the space that I have to both dugouts, so I'm kind of familiar if a ball goes up.
I noticed, too, that most catchers catch those pop-ups with one hand, and that always kind of kills me, that you're more comfortable doing that with that pancake that you have to wear on your hand, but not that there are ever really any problems with it. Do you prefer the one-handed thing, or do you prefer that if an infielder's closer, you get out of the way and let them catch it with those big gloves?
Well, the biggest thing is you know, that you learn two hands growing up, but, you know, two hands is kind of a tense position, and your other hand also kind of crosses over your face, and sometimes you kind of lose sight. So the biggest thing for me is you know, you try to catch the ball. If you do it with one hand, you got to try to catch it off to the side on your body, on your glove side, so you have a better vision of the ball, and you can kind of see it into your glove a little easier. But this year, I kind of got stuck on the ball, and the ball came back further than I thought, and I was on the side of it, and when I looked up, it was more behind me, and I kind of lost sight of it, and it hit off my glove and popped out. So it happens. It happens, but you know, I think that it's a little easier and less, I would say, mechanical to catch the ball with the one hand on the side on that kind of play.
With JP, Aaron CB, we got time for one more call for JP, and we started with a woman, we'll finish with a woman. We go out to St. John, New Brunswick, home of Gregor Chisholm of MLB.com. Melissa, say hello to JP.
Hi, JP.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering what it was like making your major league debut and how nervous you felt.
You sure didn't look nervous that first day.
Well, first I want to say that I went to St. John's. St. John's was in the Memorial Cup Championship last year, am I correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so I was at that game, that was a pretty good game to watch. And then I think they actually won it. Am I correct on that?
You are absolutely right. Nicely done.
My hockey knowledge, 101.
There's no question. You represent hockey very well.
Yeah, I'm actually at the Florida Panthers Arena right now. I'm going to watch the Tampa Bay Lightning. But to your question, I wasn't nervous just for the mere fact that I had done so well in AAA that mentally I was ready for the major leagues. I think that I had thought in my head and replayed it in my head and visualized myself in the major leagues for that season. And I was so prepared for it mentally that when I actually got into the game, I wasn't that nervous. I was ready to go. More of a kind of anxious to finally I get the opportunity to do it as opposed to, man, I'm nervous that I'm at the major leagues.
Well, you certainly you did awfully well that first day and awfully well on opening day this year as well, and a terrific year for you. And JP, whenever we have a Blue Jay on here, we like to send them off with something that they might not know about the year that they had. And I know how important people talk about hitting ahead in the count and not falling behind. Wanted you to know that this year, when you put the ball in play with an 0-1 count, when you got behind, either swung and missed or took a first strike, and here you are 0-1, 41 times you put the ball in play 0-1, and you hit .487 with 5 home runs, swinging 0-1. So that seems to be pretty good.
Nice. I'm going to tell them to throw me a strike one every time next year, and I'm taking the first pitch. Then I'll start hitting from then.
That's right. There you go. You'd be Wade Boggs. Take first pitch automatically. You'll hit .500 next year, no problem.
Sweet. .487. I'm in.
All right. Thanks, JP. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the hockey game. Have a great winter, and we'll see you in Dunedin.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. And for people that were asking on Twitter, I will be on the winter tour.
All right, so JP is going to be on the winter caravan again with the Blue Jays this year in January. Excellent. Thank you, sir. And there he is, JP Arencibia, Blue Jays rookie catcher, the holder of the Blue Jays single-season record for home runs by a catcher.